Check it out. Territory. Ain't nobody been there. You understand? Undiscovered. So call somebody and tell somebody. There's a new day, and there's also a new sheriff in the town. A lot of things will be exposed real soon. Love you. Be good.
Hello, promoters, and welcome back to the Uncharted Territory podcast. We are on episode 174, and this is one of our annual shows that we like to do about this time of year. But before we get into that, let's introduce ourselves. We got the whole crew here this week back together. I'm Corey Olson. I'll be leading the discussion tonight on our main topic. I don't have as much to say, but I'll kind of, you know, direct things for those that know what they're talking about. And just keep things rolling. But here in the Maplewood Twin Cities area, weather's been, you know, fairly nice for spring. We did have some crummy, you know, rainy days over the weekend, but it perked up here, got some sunshine today, 60 degrees. And I'm okay with that for springtime. You know, we'll talk about something that happened yesterday as far as when we're recording that didn't really take place here, at least, you know, we didn't have any evidence of it. But we'll get into that in a moment. Why don't we head down south to Gilbert, Iowa, and my brother Chad Olson. Chad's got his garbage can.
I'm working on a project, Corey. Why are you fucking interrupt me when I'm trying to do some shit here?
What are you doing over there?
Well, here's the problem. My keyboard died. My wireless keyboard is having an issue, and I think I need new batteries, and I can't find any triple A's. So I'm using a remote that I rarely use.
Uh-huh.
And I took the batteries out of that, but then one of the batteries was highly corroded, so I had to pry it out with a letter opener.
See? Right, right. Yep. He showed us a letter opener, fans.
Yep. So that's what's going on here. Let me see if it works now. I got to make sure my setup's good. Oh, yeah. We're working. I'm rolling. Right. Let's podcast. When are you going to start?
All right. Right now. What's the weather like?
Oh, okay. The way it was lovely today, it was mid-60s. It's last week sucked. It was windy, like 40-mile-an-hour winds all week. It was cold, but it's warming up around here. It's supposed to be 80 on Saturday, which, again, it's too hot. Too hot. Yeah, I don't like it. Don't like it.
Okay. So,
but, yeah, things are good here.
Okay. Well, we're glad you're here with us, Chad.
I'm glad to be here.
Good. Why don't we go to Virginia and Stu Lowry? Stu, what's going on in your neck of the woods?
Well, our weather is very similar to Chad's, although it got up into the 70s today, and we are going to hit some 80s probably Sunday and Monday of next week, and that is a little too warm for me this early. Chad, that looks delicious. Chad is eating an ice cream cone
It's a drumstick cone, fans.
Yes, that looks
fantastic. It's a cookie crunch drumstick.
Oh, balls.
Major ice cream envy at the moment.
Yeah, me too.
But we're in for a nice stretch of weather. Next few days, it's going to be 70s and 60s. I like more of the 60s. I just can't seem to hold on to those. We seem to go straight to early summer around here now. But it's been delightful for the most part. Good weather. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. I almost stole one of our topics. So I will shut up and pass to the next person.
All right. That's very kind of you, Sue. And Stu's going to pass to Tim Dalton in Buffalo, New York. Tim, what do you have to say?
Well, you know, it's rare, I think, that in early April, Buffalo's going to be the warmest place between the four of us.
Wow.
But it was 78 degrees here today.
Whoa.
I know. I was stunned.
That'll melt your drumstick.
It will.
That's
it will.
Too darn warm.
You walk around with your drumstick out and it will melt.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, 78 degrees. We're going to be in the 60s the next few days. And hey, that's fine by me. I you get one of these and it's kind of nice. I don't want too many of them because I don't want to warm up too much here too quick. And like Stu said, you know, you go from winter to summer with no spring. I like spring a lot. I like the temps a little bit cooler. So, 78, it's nice to feel, go outside and see the sun and have it be nice and warm, though. It gives you kind of a coming attraction to things down the road. So
that's, Tim likes his seasons like he likes his women, green and leafy.
That's exactly right.
Stu doesn't like him that way.
No, he likes his women in black tights and boots. That's what he likes.
Just like my wrestlers.
Wow. Different kind of tights.
Oh, man. Well, with that, let's keep moving.
Different here. Kind of boots, too, but that's different a whole separate issue.
Yeah. All right. Well, Stu kind of alluded to it a moment ago, but as we are recording on Tuesday, April 9th, the day before, there was an eclipse. Now, here in the Twin Cities, we didn't see anything. It was very cloudy, rainy all day. Just I tried, but it was we were not having the eclipse. We kind of texted each other and some other Phil Singer Games notables. But Stu, you know, what was your experience with this eclipse?
It was decent. And weren't y'all supposed to be in the Midwest more on the total eclipse?
Not by us.
Not by us, at least.
More Illinois, Indiana, Ohio.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha. Oh, Tim was. Tim had, that's it. Tim had the maximum of the four of us. Mm-hmm. It was good. We had definitely a stretch of time where you could see it. And then the clouds came in and that was the end of it. But I didn't have glasses, so I bummed some off a coworker so I could stare at it. And it's a pretty cool sight. And it's a cool sight to see it getting dark at 3 o'clock, which I know is normal for you guys in January. But around here, it's not. So it was an awesome sight. My wife and I remembered the one prior to this, and that was a sunnier day, clearer sky, if memory serves me correctly. And you could see it a little bit better than this, but we had our moment. So we definitely were able to see it for a stretch of time, and that was cool.
Very good. Very good. Tim, what was your experience?
Well, Buffalo was in the totality path, like right smack in the middle of it. And I drove down a little bit south of here to Derby, New York, to a friend of mine's, and some of her family had come up from Maryland, along with a couple of their friends to see this, because this is kind of, being in the totality path is kind of a big deal. And then, of course, I get down there and it's just completely overcast with clouds. And so we were all pretty bummed out. But then the clouds started to break a little bit, and you could catch sporadic views of it, through the glasses and stuff. And I just thought it was really cool how it would get so dark. And there had to be a 15 degree drop in temperature. As well,
definitely got cooler. Yeah.
Temp. Yeah. How cold was it?
It was 15 degrees colder than it was about 5 minutes before. But it was amazing how just you just look at some of this stuff and it just boggles my mind how just like a little sliver of the sun when the moon starts to move away, back away from the sun after it's dark, it lightens up. Just with like a sliver of the sun, it just blows my mind. But it was really cool. It was a very nice experience. Had dinner down there with everybody. We had seven people total hanging out down there. There was a wedding going on just up the street from them at a place called Graycliff, which is a historic site around here. And you could hear when everything went dark, you could hear the whole wedding party that was probably outside all like hooting and hollering and just having a great time. And it was just a really cool thing here, even though it would have been nicer if we didn't have all the cloud cover and everything. And we could have, kind of could have seen it clearly, but still just a really cool event. And I'm glad I was able to kind of go out there and be a part of it.
Very cool. So Chad, doesn't sound like you had much viewing of it either, much like here.
Oh, we had 84%. I used my special x-ray glasses and saw. I went outside and looked, and then a couple students walked by and said, they asked if they could borrow my glasses. I said, well, of course. And they said, you looked very, what did they say? I don't remember. They gave me a compliment, and I said, you betcha, motherfuckers. So now I don't work where I used to work. So no, it was cool. I had a coworker who had to go to a funeral in Chicago, but then he drove to Indianapolis to where his sister lived yesterday to see the eclipse, and he said it was amazing because they were at 100%. And I was watching the videos on NASA's YouTube page of it, like sweeping, you know, it was going across Texas at like 1:30 our time, and then it's supposed to get around here about 1:58. So I think in 20 years when we have the next one, I'm going to make a pilgrimage somewhere to watch it.
Yeah. Excellent.
We are too.
I'll be a spry 70. We can have a trip, Stu,
to
celebrate our retirement.
That sounds good. I won't be spry.
Oh, I'll be spry. Spry as fuck.
Jeez. All right.
You heard it here, folks.
Yes,
spry AF.
Yes, spry AF.
That's what I'm going to get for my first tattoo.
In 2044, Chad, spry AF.
I will be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only getting it. More spry.
I believe it.
I'm like that one movie with that guy, and he ages in reverse.
Brad Pitt, when he aged the guy backwards. With the thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love that Button. Movie.
Tommy Two Tone.
They go to the place?
Yeah, Benjamin Button.
Taurine and Champions of the Galaxy, is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Except I'm not becoming a baby.
That's right. That's right. All right. Well,
baby, get in my belly. I love that.
Jeez. All right. Well,
lost control.
Yes, we have already.
I tell you, that's what a double crunch drumstick will do to you.
There you go. Well, also taking place shortly before the recording of this episode was WrestleMania. Now, I did not see everything yet. I've watched both openers and both main events, and then I think one or two matches kind of in the middle of both shows. I kind of picked and chose what I wanted to. My kids got to see the opening match both nights before the younger kids' bedtime, and then I made sure to watch the main events both nights. From what I've seen so far, enjoyed the show. I loved the women's match with Rhea and Becky. Thought that was really, really good match. I made sure to watch Gunther and Sammy and enjoyed that one. I was kind of sad to see Gunther's reign end because it's been so much fun to have a nice long title reign once again. I enjoyed the Seth Rollins Drew McIntyre match. Kind of figured that the Damian Saint Cashin would happen. Let's see, and then of course the main events both nights. Thought some very long matches both nights. Thought the tag match could have maybe gone a little bit shorter or had, you know, one or two fewer false finishes. I really thought when Rollins and Cody hit the double pedigrees, I thought, well, maybe that'll be the finish to that, you know, and kind of mark the Triple H era, but it wasn't to be. But you know, I was glad that Cody did end up with the belt on Sunday night, after all the interference and a lot of craziness. But it was a good way to end the weekend. Chad, what were your thoughts on the weekend?
Oh, you know, I cleaned my basement. About the WrestleMania. Sorry.
WrestleMania. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Let me focus.
That's okay.
I'm trying to think back to what night was what. I definitely like night two more than night one. I did like the Gunther Sami Zayn match. I thought that was the best match on night one. The main event, it was fine. It was just a little too long, I thought. And then on night two, I enjoyed, I like both the women's matches. And I thought, I didn't really care for the triple threat. It just was kind of boring.
Yeah, I did watch that. I forgot about that.
But I thought the main event was pretty good. I liked all the chaos and plunder at the end, you know, John Cena and Undertaker and all that malarkey.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was an entertaining show. I gave it 2 thumbs up.
Excellent.
Which is the equivalent of 69 stars.
Excellent, excellent.
One chocolate drumstick.
And a gallon of eggnog. Mm-hmm.
Stu, what were your thoughts?
Well, I've seen probably about 10 to 12 minutes of the night one main event, which I liked. Other than the Rock is just ridiculously jacked at this point in time, but I guess he feels like he's got to do it. At the end of the Sammy Gunther match, which I did not mind Sammy going over. I do get what you're saying on Gunther, though. That was quite a rate. But I've developed. Did you have some, Chad?
I was just going to say my only disappointment was I thought if Gunther won, then Sammy's wife was going to swerve, join him, and then become a dominatrix.
This stuff just writes itself.
There you go.
I mean, my booking power is renowned.
I was going to say, Chad, known for his booking.
Best booker that doesn't play.
Mm-hmm.
Then I've seen bits and pieces of the main event, or a little bit of the towards the end of the main event on night two. And I don't know. I liked all the interference. I think it worked for this. I think it, you know, kind of signaling an end of an era. Mm-hmm. I was hoping actually for a little more. I like getting Undertaker and Cena. I was hoping for maybe one really classic character. But no, you know, no such luck, but it was fine for what it was. And I was fine with that. I didn't necessarily love the, I didn't want to see Seth Rollins lose the belt, but, so be it. He's become a favorite of mine,
mm-hmm.
But overall, this thing was booked really well. And it's kind of gearing more a little bit towards a sports presentation, which I like a little bit. And, mm-hmm. Had a big fight feel. So I say kudos to it.
I know what you mean, Stu, about, you know, the second night main event and wanting, you know, maybe one or two more little surprises. And I don't have anybody in mind, but you know, kind of everybody that showed up, I figured would. Undertaker was a slight surprise, I guess, but
yeah, I would agree.
You know, maybe one or two more people, you know, I really hoped it would work to get Dustin Rhodes involved, but obviously that was going to be a hard one.
Me too.
Just for the family sake and everything. And again, I don't know who else would have been a good surprise, but it was that. But when the Usos went flying off the stage there, like, is either one of them alive? I mean, I thought they were going to be goners, but I'm glad they came back.
It did look like they might have missed their landing spot. I know. By a little. Yeah,
I know.
I must have looked away. I did not see that. Was that like during the main event when they fought off?
Yeah, when Jay speared Jimmy. Like they went flying off the stage, and you saw them between two tables on the floor.
You know what? I bet they had a crash pad underneath it too.
Yeah, hopefully. Tim, anything else?
I mean, I'll echo everything. I thought they did a good job. It was very entertaining. I didn't mind all the goofiness in the main event finish because it's the main event of WrestleMania. You've got, you know, casual people that aren't big fans watching, and you brought out some big old stars that, you know, probably will pop the crowd. Mm-hmm. And if you're in the crowd there too, it's like, hey, you know, now you got to see Cena and Undertaker as well make an appearance.
Right.
I didn't mind it. I mean, you know, if this was just like a standard title match that didn't have the build that this thing did, I would have thought it was just, you know, kind of a crappy way to do it. But I think this really worked. And one thing I really loved was just the whole post-match with Cody going around and, you know, with the family and the, you know, and every, all the baby faces in the ring. I mean, I'm still a mark for that kind of stuff. You know, the baby face wins and the other baby faces come out. Mm-hmm. You know, he calls out Bruce Pritchard and Triple H. That's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, I like he goes over, shakes all the announcers' hands. He's hugging the camera guys.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool.
I was like, what the heck is going on? So, I mean, it looked like the camera guys were like excited too,
mm-hmm.
You know? So I just thought it worked. I thought that post-match was great in a way to kind of really put him over as like the new face of the company. I thought everybody looked great too. I mean, holy crap. I mean, you know, Roman Reigns was lean and mean. He was mm-hmm. looking good. It wasn't just The Rock. Everybody was, you know, you could tell they were all training a lot and watching the diet mm-hmm. right before these matches because they wanted to look their best.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was a really fun couple of nights, and I really enjoyed what I there were some things I missed, but what I saw, I really enjoyed.
Yeah. You know, and should also mention, you know, of course, Friday night was the WWE Hall of Fame induction. Our good friend Thunderbolt Patterson, I'm so glad that he got time to speak. I was kind of worried, you know, being that he was going on later in the show, that they might, you know, try to cut his time, but they just let him do his thing. That was pure Thunderbolt. I was texting the guys that I, when he came out, when they brought him into the arena, I was in tears. It was really cool to see him in that setting. And in front of all those fans, that big arena and everything, and just to see somebody that we see every year in Waterloo in a WWE ring, getting to talk, that was really, really cool. I liked, you know, someone just really quickly on the Hall of Fame. You know, of course, Paul Heyman did a great Paul Heyman promo, very long, but a lot of fun. I kind of liked, you know, with Leah Maivia getting inducted, I liked the video package where they had the actress who plays her on Young Rock kind of narrated. I thought that was just kind of a cool touch. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought, I mean, she definitely, seen those photos of Leah, that she was well cast for that role and everything. So that was a lot of fun. But yeah, a good WrestleMania weekend, and it'll be interesting to see what they do from here. Well, let's get into our main topic, and it is spring.
Wait, can we talk the Raw? Did anybody else watch the Raw after WrestleMania last night?
Oh, I did not. No, I have not listened to my wrestling news yet. So, Chad, what do you want to say about the Raw after?
Well, there's no spoilers or anything. I just, you know, they were just like during the weekend, they talked about the new era, the new regime, you know, with Triple H in charge, and they started the show with him. Triple H came out and cut a little promo, and then had Cody Rhodes come out, and they embraced. And I really hope this means this is the end of the stupid evil GM. But I, like, the whole time he's giving him a hug, I just kept waiting for him to like clothesline him and pedigree or some bullshit. Right. And I'm just like, oh, I hope that's just gone. Yeah. Because it just, I mean, that's been going on for over 20 years, probably close to 25 years now. And it's just, needs to go the F away.
Yep.
You know, having like, you know, Adam Pearce be a little more friendly than Nick Aldis is fine, because that's how people are in real life, right? You know, and you know, with the NFL draft, they boo the shit out of the the commissioner all the time.
Yep.
The, you know, is it, who's the NBA guy? Adam Silver, is that still him? The guy looks like if you unwrapped a mummy, he'd be what's left. He doesn't look healthy, that guy.
So he's very, very skinny.
So, anyways, that's just it. I hope it's goodbye to the evil GM below me.
I cut to it for like a minute. And what was the gist of the Rock Cody promo on Raw?
Oh, Rock just said he has to go now, but he'll be back sometime, and then he went in his pocket and he took out something, and I think it was the Jerry Lawler invisible foreign object. Put it in Cody's hand, and he says, "You know what this have?" And what do you say? Something like, "Don't lose this, or you'll break my heart," or something. And then Cody stuck it in his pocket, so you never saw what was passed to him. I don't know, something that Dusty gave him.
Oh,
yeah, cool,
interesting. Okay, well, cool, very cool. Thank you, Chad. All right, we'll get into our main event then. It is our annual Major League Baseball season prediction show. Stu and Tim will be doing you know, most of the prognosticating here, and we'll see what they have to say for this season. So let's just kind of get right into it. Let's kind of go, you know, division by division in the different areas. First of all, in the American League, let's go to the East. And Tim, you know, what are your thoughts? What's going to happen there?
Who the hell knows, Corey? Yeah. And certainly Stu and I don't, based on past episodes of this. But I'll take a shot. I'm gonna pick Baltimore. I just think with the addition of Corbin Burns, I think their pitching has got real depth now. I loved all the young guys they've got, and they've got a minor league team that might be able to rival their major league team with all the talent that's down on the farm for them. So I'm going to pick the Orioles to win it. I really want to pick Toronto second and the Yankees third, but Toronto is one of those teams I just keep overrating every single year, and they just don't, there's just something that doesn't work, and I don't know what it is. And I like their pitching depth more than I like the Yankees, but I'm going to pick the Yankees for second, and Toronto third, and then Tampa in fourth. I always underrate Tampa. They could come out of nowhere and win this too. And then the Boston Red Sox in last, although I think this is going to be a really tough division. I think all these teams could potentially have won. I know Boston just had a couple injuries, but I think they could all potentially have winning records.
Okay, very interesting. Stu, what do you think?
In the AL East, I originally put the Yankees based on their hot start, but I got to go Orioles. It's just, I think the Orioles were just a year too soon last year. And as Tim mentioned, they do have Corbin Burns, who's off to a pretty good start. So I am going to say Orioles, Yankees, Toronto, who has burned me in the past, but I'm going to put them in there too. Boston, and who the heck am I forgetting?
Tampa Bay.
Yeah. So that would be my order in the AL East. I am probably going to regret Toronto because I've had them high in the last couple of years and they just haven't materialized, but I'm going to go with them again.
Okay. Very interesting. And so I heard you correctly, both picking Baltimore number one?
Correct.
Excellent. All right. Well, let's head over to the West side then. Stu, what are your thoughts on the AL West?
In the AL West, they've had a rough start, but I'm going to go with Houston. I just think there's just too much talent there. They were 2-7 as of or coming in, I think, to Sunday night's game against the Rangers. They won that game. What's his name? Blanco took a second no-hitter into the fifth or sixth. I mean, he had had a no-hitter before. So he's trying to be the first pitcher since Johnny Vandermeer to get consecutive no-hitters. That was cool. I just think they have too much talent to not finish in first in the AL West. Then after that, I'm going with the Rangers, the Mariners, which is everybody's darling right now, the Angels, and the A's.
Okay, very good choices. Tim?
Well, everybody's darling is going to be mine too. I'm going to pick Seattle to win it. I really love their starting pitching depth. I think they've got a lot there. Hopefully, I think, obviously the whole key to starting pitching depth is can everybody stay healthy? But I just think they've got a heck of a team. I like some of their additions. I like them getting Mitch Haniger back. I think he could help. So I'm going to take Seattle first. Then I had a tough time picking between the two teams from Texas, but I'm going to go with Houston in second, the reigning and defending world champion Texas Rangers in third, and then the Angels and the hapless Oakland A's rounding out the West.
All righty.
How about these soon to be Las Vegas, wherever the heck they're playing in some small stadium for a couple of years while
it's horrible.
it's just terrible.
All right. How about the Central Division? Tim?
This one got me. I just don't know. I just really don't know. I mean, if I could take a pass on this, I would, because I think there's any of four teams could win. But I'm going to go with Detroit by a smidge over the Twins. I just really like Detroit. I don't know why. They're one of these sexy picks now because they've got a lot of young guys that are kind of hitting their stride. But I just like the team, and I just think they're going to be a lot of fun to watch. And I think they could be like this year's version of Oakland, of Baltimore, where everything just kind of comes together and all the young guys start to hit. And they could sneak up and win the Central. So I'm going to go Detroit first, Minnesota second, because I think they've got a really good team too. I'm taking the Guardians. I still want to say the Indians, but the Guardians third, the Royals fourth. The Royals could win this too. I like the Royals a lot, but I'm just not sure they've got enough pitching to get there. And then the Chicago White Sox, who kind of dismantled their team over the winter, I'm gonna say the White Sox finish last.
Very interesting picks there, Detroit. Yeah, I mean, from what I hear about Detroit, you could be right. Stu, what are your thoughts?
I've got Minnesota winning the Central, so I'm pretty much chalk there with a lot of early season prognostications. Then I'm going Cleveland, Detroit, Kansas City, and the White Sox. The White Sox are, I would say, a lock for last place in the AL Central. So those would be my picks, with Minnesota coming out as the division winner.
All right. That'll be popular on this podcast.
Yes.
I figured I'd win a few friends here.
Hey, you know, I can't, I'm not going to be mad about that choice, Stu. Well, let's head over to the National League and the same divisions. Let's go start with the East again. Stu, why don't you start us off? What are you thinking?
All right. Well, I'm thinking in the National League East, who did I have? I've got Atlanta. I think the Braves are the class of the of Major League Baseball in general. I think they're going to take it again. They are just loaded. And from there, I've got the Phillies. Hey, Todd, I am not picking the Mets to do jack squat this year, so you can relax on that. I do have them in third, however, but that's just a testament to the misery that is the Nationals and the Marlins. I'm actually going to pick the Nationals in fourth and the Marlins in fifth. The Nats have some decent young talent. They just lost Josiah Gray, who was their lone all-star. He just went on the IL injured list today. He's their ace pitcher, yet another pitcher to go down. So they could sink a little more, but I like them to be in fourth and maybe fight it out for third. So that's an interesting story just because I'm a Nats fan, but Braves coming out of that division, faux show.
Faux show, says Stu. Tim?
Well, I pretty much have what Stu says. Atlanta, then Philadelphia, the Mets, Washington, Miami. I just think Atlanta is one of the best built teams, one of the best run teams in Major League Baseball. Even with the loss of Spencer Strider, who recently went down, I still think they're the class of the division, although, you know, when it comes to playoff time, the Phillies are going to be tough again, as always. But I like Atlanta definitely to win the division. One thing I will say, though, is on Stu's Washington Nationals, the Rochester Red Wings are their AAA farm team. And on opening day, I got to see a guy named James Wood playing, not James Woods, James Wood playing right
field. Got me there. You got me there.
There you go. And one of his old basketball coaches was one of the people that was at our Eclipse viewing group. And so he's a big kid. He's like 6'7". So his old basketball coach was part of the group that I was watching the Eclipse with, last night. So
that makes you like second cousins, right?
I think so. I think we're related by some kind of blood, maybe not our own, but somebody else's.
The blood of Jesus who died on Easter a week ago.
Nice.
There you go.
Well said.
But I just thought that was kind of a cool little side note, because I walked in and had mentioned that I was at the game, and somebody said, "Oh, did you see James Wood?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I did. He was playing right field." And they said, "Oh, well, John used to coach him." And I said, "In baseball?" Because I didn't think John was a baseball coach. He said, no, in basketball. He used to be a really good basketball player. So there you go. Just a little aside as to, you know, a little flavor to the show.
Always good to have some flavor. How about in the NL Central? Tim?
Central's tough. I want to believe in the Cincinnati Reds, and I want to believe in the Pittsburgh Pirates. I want to believe in them both. I really, really do. The Pirates, I love the left side of their infield. I think it's going to be great for a few years to come. But I'm picking the Cubs. I don't have a lot of confidence. I don't have a lot of confidence in any of this. But it's just such a tough division. Cincinnati's off to a good start. So is Pittsburgh. Boy, it's just I had to go with Chicago. I just think they've got more, I guess, veteran talent there to kind of take it and lead. Cincinnati's got some great people too. I thought they made some great kind of, you know, some great trades and additions that maybe weren't the big names. They didn't make the big splash in the free agent market, but they added some really solid pieces there. And so I'm picking the Reds second. I'm hoping the Cardinals can find some pitching and finish third. Then I've got the Pirates in Milwaukee. Although I'd love it if the Pirates can prove me wrong and make a great run this year. I would love to see that. I think they're a very exciting team, and we'll see how their season goes.
All right. Stu, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I want to just one more fun fact about James Wood. He has given birth to a wonderful t-shirt saying "We got Wood." So that is that's going to be a collector's item for sure.
Definitely.
The actor or the baseball player?
Baseball player.
Oh,
baseball
okay. Player. Okay.
Is that available now on tkostore.com?
I know. I thought you were stealing Tim's thunder, dude.
I know. You know, you're doing your own t-shirt promos now. What the hell is this? Why am I even here?
Gimmick infringement.
Oh, what a Judas God. Benedict right. Arnold.
Yes. Oh, right in the back. All right.
At NL two, Central. Brother Beefcake.
Well done.
Well done. Very well played. I, too, have the Cubs. This division is interesting. I am not going to be – the Pirates were tempting. While I do think they can maybe get to 500 this year, I just don't see them winning the division. But I'm going to go Cubs and Reds in that order, and then I'm going to go Brewers, Pirates, and I'm going to go Cardinals because that's a strange pick for last, but they ain't playing too great a baseball right now. So
and they didn't last year either.
That's going to be my pick. No, they didn't. So I'm going to go Cubs is the winner, and the rest of them in that order in the NL Central.
All right, so we got two votes there for the Chicago Cubs. How about in the NL West? Stu, why don't you kick that off?
Well, this was the easiest pick, at least for me. I think the Dodgers win that division hands down, although the Diamondbacks will be interesting, and I have them in second. Followed by San Diego, who lost Juan Soto, but they'd still have Tatis and others.
They still have seven other shortstops on the team, so they'll be okay.
They're going to be all right. And then I've got the Giants and the Rockies, but I have zero confidence in those picks. But Dodgers and Diamondbacks, I'm feeling pretty good on. And Dodgers in first.
All right, Tim.
You know, I like that. I just, the only thing I've got is I've got San Francisco and San Diego switched for me. I got the Dodgers first. I think they're going to, I don't think they're going to win as many games as people think, because I think this division is going to be tough. I think Arizona's tough. I think the Giants are tough. I think the Padres are tough. And even though it's a more balanced schedule now, where they're not just all playing, you know, the same within their division anymore, I think the Dodgers aren't going to win as many games. Boy, they're going to score a lot of runs. So I'm picking them first. I'm picking Arizona second. I kind of like the Giants. I kind of like some of the things the Giants did as well. You know, going and getting a guy that from Korea that whose nickname is the Grandson of the Wind. I mean, how do you not like that? His father used to play in the Korean baseball organization, the KBO, and his nickname there was the Son of the Wind. And so now his son is the Grandson of the Wind. And I thought that was kind of a cool, you know, that's one of the cooler nicknames out there right now. The Padres could be good. I mean, sometimes when you lose a good player like a Juan Soto and a Blake Snell, it adds to your team chemistry somehow. And as much as people don't like to believe in team chemistry, I think it's still a thing. I think it's a real thing. So they might come together and do something. And then Colorado, I think the Rockies still have a lot of work to do, but you know, they're trying. But I see them kind of bringing up the bottom of the division.
All right. Very cool. And on a side topic, I like that continuation of the family nicknames. It's kind of like Luchadores and El Hijo de, you know, fill in the blank.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, very cool. Let's talk about some of the you know, postseason awards and things. First of all, in the Cy Young for the Cy Young Award, what are your thoughts for both leagues? Tim, go ahead.
Well, I guess for the American League, and this is kind of one of the sexy picks out there too. I mean, and to kind of win back a little love that I lost by picking Detroit, I'm going to take Pablo Lopez of the Minnesota Twins. You know, they traded away, the Twins did. They traded Luis Arraez to Miami. to get him, and he has just been lights out. He's got great stuff. He strikes out a bunch of guys. I just like his pitch makeup. So I think he's got a chance to win the a good chance to win the AL Cy Young if he again, you know, I mean, it's just I think whoever stays healthy and makes 30 starts is going to win the AL Cy Young and NL Cy Young just because the pitchers, you know, get hurt so often. In the National League, I had originally jotted in Spencer Strider in pencil, of course, and then he just went down and I believe torn UCL, and I think he's going to be out for the year. So I'm going to go with Logan Webb of the San Francisco Giants. Had a good year last year. I think he finished in the top five in Cy Young voting. Really good pitcher. I always like watching him pitch when he's on the late games. If I get a late game out of the San Francisco area, but I think he's got a good shot, and he's going to be my pick this year.
All right, Stu, same pick, something different.
This is Cy Young, right? I am going to go. He's had a good start, and I'm going to go with Corbin Burnes over Luis Castillo in the American League. Everybody, Castillo was the chalk pick, but he's had a pretty crummy start to the season. Again, we're talking.
He was my pick last year, actually.
Tim and I had Burnes last year.
No, my pick last year was Castillo.
Oh, your pick was Castillo.
Yeah,
okay, got
last
it.
Year.
As Tim and I were talking, and as Tim so accurately assessed, anybody that gets 30 starts this year for a starting pitcher is going to be in the running because pitchers are dropping like flies. But I'm going to go Corbin Burnes for the AL Cy Young. The NL Cy Young, I wanted Strider, but obviously that is not going to happen this year. And even though he's had a horrible start, and this is a little out of the box, not quite. Some people have picked him. Max Fried for Atlanta. I'm gonna go with him as my National League Cy Young as a little bit of a dark horse, although he's a very good pitcher and he stays healthy on a good team, could compile the stats necessary. So those are my picks.
Right, very interesting picks. How about for the overall MVP, both American and National Leagues? Stu, what are your predictions?
Well, AL MVP. My head said Rodriguez of Seattle, but my heart is going to say Juan Soto. I loved him as a Nat, and he's got a short porch, and I think he is going to, once he gets in a groove, compile some stats in New York. So I'm going to go with Soto as the MVP. At one point, he never quite gelled for him in San Diego, but that guy has it all. I mean, I watched him for four or five years steady almost every night. He was on my TV with the Nats, and he is an incredible talent. So Juan Soto for the American League MVP. Am I doing both, Corey?
Sure, go ahead.
All right. National League, every bone in my body says to take Mookie Betts, but man, Bryce Harper, he had one monster game, and then, you know, he's batting mid-250s right now, so he's not necessarily been consistent. But again, had the opportunity to watch him for many years with the Nationals. If he stays healthy, I'm going with Harper. There's a bit of a dark horse candidate there over Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts, because I just think Mookie's already had a great start. So we'll see. I'm probably totally completely wrong on that, as I am with every pick I've ever made on this particular podcast. But I'm going Bryce Harper, NL MVP, Soto, AL MVP.
Very good, Tim.
You know, I was thinking about Mookie, and I really wanted to do it. And I said, you know, I really like my guy from last year in the National League, and so he's my only carryover pick. I'm going with Austin Riley, the third baseman for the Atlanta Braves. Just love his game. He had a great year last year, and I don't even know if he cracked the top 10 in MVP voting because there were so many great people out there. I mean, the Dodgers had the top three guys in their lineup. Any of them could win the MVP. You know, Mookie Betts so far has had like a good like first half for a lot of players in you know, like 12 games or 15 games or however many he's played. But I'm going to go with Austin Riley for Atlanta. And I think Stu will like my AL pick. you know, I was thinking about a lot of guys, but I'm staying down in the capital area there, and I'm going with Adley Rutschman of the Baltimore Orioles, the catcher, switch hitting catcher. I think he's got a lot going for him. I like the kid's makeup. He really is the one that ignited Baltimore. That kind of once he got there, they really started playing well. He's a good defender. He's a good hitter from both sides of the plate. He kind of does it all, and he's kind of the you know, even the, I think when he walked on the field as a youngster, he was probably the leader of that team. So I'm going to go with Adley Rutschman from the Baltimore Orioles.
All right, we'll see how that works out. And let's go all the way to the end of the season to the playoff, Tim.
So in the for the playoff teams, I've got for the American League, I've got Baltimore and New York coming out of the East, Detroit in the Central, and I've got three teams coming out of the West. I got Seattle, Houston, and Texas coming out of the West. I think they're all going to be good, and I think they're, you know, some of these teams are getting like starting pitching back, like Texas and New York are getting some starting pitching back a little later in the year, and I think that could definitely help in the playoffs. But yeah, those are the teams that I'm going to pick in the American League as my playoff team. And I'm going to pick for the champion of the American League. I'm going to take the Baltimore Orioles. I just think they're awesome. I like watching them. All the young talent, their AAA team scored like, I don't even remember how many runs, like 25 runs or something one night, just going out and beating up the other team. And everybody had like three or four hits, and it was ridiculous. So I'm going to say Baltimore because I think they're going to get some call-ups and things like that. If they need help, if anybody goes down, I mean, their depth, I think, is incredible. In the National League, I got two from each division. I got Atlanta and Philadelphia going. I've got the Cubs and the Reds in the Central, and I got the Dodgers and Arizona in the West. I think they're all good teams. You know, Cincinnati's that kind of dark horse, like I said, with all the young guys kind of coming through. And I know they've run into the roadblock of the Philadelphia Phillies the last couple of years, but I'm going to pick Atlanta to come out of there. The Dodgers are so good too. I mean, they're such a great team, and they're going to be getting some late season pitching help as well, I believe. So, but I just like the whole makeup of the Braves team. I just think they've got a lot of balance in every area. They catch the ball well, they hit the ball well, they pitch the ball well. I just think they're a great team, and I just really hope they kind of break through and make it to the World Series this year.
Okay, very good points, Stu.
Well, if you like Tim's National League picks, I'm telling you, you're going to like mine. But let's go to the American League. I've got Orioles, Minnesota, and Houston as the division winners. And then in the AL East, I've got New York also coming out as a wild card. And then I got two from the West, exactly like Tim, Seattle and Texas joining Houston. And I, too, like Orioles as champions. They were a fun team to watch last year. You know, we get Masson down here. That's our regional sports network, although it's been in a squabble with our local cable provider. So I'm currently not getting it, but hope to get it back at some point. And I got to watch the Orioles quite a bit last year. And I too really like that team as constituted. And I think they were just a year early last year. I like them as champion of the American League. National League, it's the same thing as Tim. Atlanta and Philly from the East. I've got the Cubs and Cincinnati from the Central. And I got the Dodgers and Arizona from the West. And then I have Atlanta as my National League champion. Just too deep, too talented, and they just do everything well. That is a very good Major League Baseball team.
All right, well, there's the postseason predictions, but let's go to the big game, the World Series. What do you think is going to happen, Stu?
Well, you probably can guess based upon the reverential tones I used for them earlier. I'm going to say the Braves. I say Atlanta wins it over or the Orioles. Again, Orioles, as good as they are, they're just not Atlanta. I don't think anybody in Major League Baseball is Atlanta. Just in every facet of the game, they do it well. So I have Atlanta over the Orioles. I could see it going six. I don't necessarily see it going seven, but I think they win 4-2 in the World Series and emerge as champions.
All right, Stu going with Hotlanta for his pick. Tim, what do you think?
You know what, Stu and I, and we don't compare any of this stuff beforehand, or, you know, we kind of come into this and we don't, talk about these with each other. But I'm going Atlanta as well. I think they're the best balanced team in the majors. We only have one different, postseason team as well. Luckily our award winners were different, but, yeah, I just think Atlanta's too strong. It kills me that they've lost to Philly, but Philly's kind of the way their team is structured, they're kind of built for that postseason run because they've got like two or three great starting pitchers and everybody on the team hits. So they're a tough team to get by in the postseason. But I'm hoping Atlanta can break through this year. And I would love to see Baltimore win the World Series, but I think Atlanta's a little better team.
All right. So two picks for Atlanta. Well, there you have it, fans. We'll see what happens. But I think Chad would like to make some picks for the season as well. Chad's been quiet throughout the show here. But, Chad, go ahead.
Twins take it all.
Woo!
Al Newman gets AL MVP.
Excellent. There you go. Well, promoters, let us know your thoughts, your predictions. Are we far off? Are we way out there? We'll find out in a couple months. And with that, I think we're going to wrap up this show. Let's get into our shout-outs for this week. Tim, why don't you kick things off?
Well, I just want to say that it was a lot of fun to attend the it's at least my 47th consecutive Red Wings home opening day. After it was postponed for 4 days, which was horrible. But it had nice weather. It was sunny. It was 55 degrees, I believe, around 55 at game time. So it was very comfortable if you were in the sun. If a cloud came by, it got a little chilly, but it was very, very nice in the sun. Unfortunately, the Red Wings did lose to Lehigh Valley 5-4. And it's probably the first time I've stayed for an entire game in quite a while, just because it's been bad weather there for a few years in a row. But it was great to kind of stay through the end of the game, and take it all in. I love going opening day. It's just, it kind of marks that, you know, beginning of spring for me, even though it had to be postponed by rain for 4 days. But just a lot of fun and I enjoyed it. And it was, I think they had 3,500 people there. At least that was the ticket count. The as far as attendance, I think it was less, like turnstile attendance, I think was less, but it was 3,500 paid. So we'll see how that goes for them for the year once things warm up. Stu stealing my stuff, man. He's doing my, I don't know why he just didn't start going into the TKO store spelling and just completely rip me off. But by God, if you know, you can't get your other kinds of t-shirts, but if you want Uncharted Territory t-shirts, you all know where to go. You go to tkostore.com. That's right. TEEKOstore.com. For all your Uncharted Territory needs, you got your sweatshirts, your t-shirts, your hoodies, your, I don't know, are there mittens? Do we have mittens yet? Because the mittens was the giveaway at the Red Wing home opener, so I thought that was pretty cool. We should do mittens. Let's talk to Pike. Maybe we could do mittens. That would be really kind of neat.
How about a muffler?
It's got legs.
Oh,
muffler would be
muffler
great too.
Would be good.
It's like a mitten, but it's one, and you put your both hands in there.
Tonight. Oh, that kind of muffler.
Yeah, well, not a car part.
Not like a. Oh, I thought you meant for like your 73 Buick. You could do the muffler with like our logo on it. That would be kind of cool too.
We talked to Brian Vanderwall. He could maybe get us some research. That's
a muffler. There you go.
We got to get him setting up a website. Also, I just wanted to let everybody know I've been posting results from my 2092 Galactic Cup, my tag team tournament that I have run every year when I was playing GWF, and I have been doing in my restart. I figured just for kicks, I'd post it as I was playing it. And I even though I'm not quite as retired as I would like to be at this time of year, still doing some consulting work and some tax work. I'm trying to post as I play. So the first round is over with. So you can follow those results on the board. And other than that, you know, I just I love these episodes. I love the baseball episodes. I love talking baseball. You know, I think we've got a lot of, I think it's going to be a good season. I think there's a lot of fun stuff, great storylines out there. You know, we'll see who finishes their story this year, I guess, in the World Series. Hopefully it'll be it'll be a good year, and a lot of the stars will stay healthy and not not go down to injury, because that's always kind of a bummer when you know your favorite team, your best player goes down. So we'll see. Well, hopefully it'll be a great year. I'm really looking forward to it. And other than that, you know, just thank you all for listening. We really do appreciate it. And we will be back next time for episode 175. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Holy cow, we've been doing this for a long time. Okay. Mm-hmm. Have a good one, everybody.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you for all your predictions. We'll see how things turn out come November, I guess, October, November. Let's go to Stu.
And promoters, hold our feet to the fire. Of course, if Tim and I were working for the old publication Street and Smith prognosticating baseball picks, we'd both be fired. But we'll see how well we do by the end of this season. Here's a little shout out to science, a fun fact regarding the eclipse. I don't know what this has to do with anything or with, you know, it's fun. That's all I'll say.
Science.
It's science. The sun's diameter is about 400 times larger than the moon's. Stay with me here. And the sun is almost 400 times further away from us than the moon is. That's some kind of symmetry. That's why they can line up. I had an assist on that. That's why they can line up the way they do. And that is incredible when you contemplate that. What are the odds of that? So there's a little science for you, promoters. And who says you can't learn things on uncharted territory? And with that, certainly enjoyed this edition. I like it every year really enjoyed every year we've been doing this. I don't know if we've ever had a year where we've been remotely close on picks, but maybe this is the year we do it. And go Pirates, and good night, Denmark.
Thank you, Stu, and thank you for all your preparations and predictions as well. Chad, what do you have to say this week?
So let's talk about episode 173, commentators. TTX, Throwing Toasters, Husky 77, Pete, DK2, Pete Beck, Sinestro 24, Tournament Master, Pike Mojo, Kevin T. Butcher, Guilty Party, who had a lovely comment about Hardy's Breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Hardy's Breakfast. I haven't had that in many years, but that was good. And I remember our mom
it is hearty.
Cinnamon raisin biscuits.
That's right. It is some fine breakfast.
And the faction. So thank you for commenting and taking time on your day to do so. And hope you enjoyed the episode. And hope everybody enjoyed the episode out there. I also want to give a shout out. I got a little message just this afternoon from somebody on the boards named Ned, wondering if we were having any more mayhem meetups, because he lives in Des Moines and is getting back into Champions of the Galaxy after many years away. So cool. I messaged him, but I want to let everybody know that Icon will be coming, and I think it's the 14th or 15th year of Icon that Eric Kanishi runs, will be on June 8th. Saturday, June 8th at Mayhem. So I let Ned know that. Anyone within the sound of my voice, as Jim Cornette likes to say, should hear this and come on down to Icon, Des Moines, Iowa, Saturday, June 8th. And then, you know, there's also GalacticCon. You can read about that on the board, but I hope everybody can make it, go to GalacticCon. Tim's hosting a barbecue in his backyard for all the attendees, I heard, right?
I'm not even sure I could fit all the attendees in what you call my backyard.
That's true. You'll put him in your neighbor's backyard too.
I'll look forward to that.
That'd be
Tim.
Fine. Yeah. We can knock down that fence. It's not a problem.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that fence.
On that wall.
So then you got to think about July 18th through 20th in Waterloo, Iowa for the 25th annual Trago Stats Hall of Fame. We got a lot of great guests still to announce. Some are kind of surprisey. And I'm going to give a little spoiler here, because I like to give till it hurts. Mm-hmm. I was interviewed today. It was kind of a pre-interview for a feature on Thunderbolt Patterson.
Hey,
so that'll be coming down the road here, and as soon as I can share the wins, the whys, and the wheres, I'll let y'all know. But he's gonna be he's making the media rounds now that he's a WWE Hall of Famer. And I do have to say that was an awesome event. I loved seeing him jump out of the wheelchair to give Jerry a hug and show him the Hall of Fame ring. And then they cut to the video because they're like, this guy's never going to sit down in the wheelchair again. And it was wonderful. And it was really cool to see the three guys from the New Day talk about just what he's done to help break down racism in professional wrestling. And, you know, you think about it, Saturday night, there was a 6-woman tag match. And, the one side had all black female wrestlers on there. I'm pretty sure that's a first for a national promotion. Yeah. I don't know. I don't really keep track of these things, but somebody said that during the commentary. I'm going, yeah. And, you know, it just made me think of Thunderbolt and all the things he's done. And I know nobody's perfect. But you know what? I'm proud of him, and I'm very happy for him for receiving this recognition. So I hope everybody stays safe and continues to be excellent to each other as always. Oh, one thing we didn't mention too. Sunday, May 5th, I believe, is Road to Galacticon.
Yes.
So celebrate Cinco de Mayo with a big pan of nachos dripping all over your fucking keyboard and getting into a virtual game fest.
With the a bottle of tequila.
C. Or vitamin water.
Thank you, Chad.
Peace out, hippies.
Thank you, Chad. All right. I'll give attention to the other Phil Singer Games content providers out there. We have Grant Pachoco and the Great Solo Promoter YouTube channel and podcast. Dave Little at Heartland Championship Wrestling on YouTube. Brock Atkinson at Brockster Builds on Twitch, as well as Brock and Mike's Phil Singer Games Character Spotlight. Brad Plays 81 on YouTube, and Lee Longpree and his YouTube channel. So thank you, promoters, for providing us updates, information, ideas, and more frivolity with this game. And I think that's about all I have to say for this week. So I just want to say one more time, thank you, everybody, for clicking, listening, and downloading. We'll talk to you again on episode 175.
Hey promoters, it's Corey again, and we would love to hear from you. Please send us your questions, topic suggestions, or any other comments, and we might include your audio in a future episode of Uncharted Territory. There's two ways you can do it. You can go to tinyurl.com/UNCTER. Again, tinyurl.com/UNCTER. You can click the message button and record up to a 1-minute message, and we can include that in a future episode. Or you can email us either audio or a written question at our email address, utpodcast2020@gmail.com. Again, utpodcast2020@gmail.com.
Want to show your friends that you listen to Uncharted Territory? Well, head on over to our store at tkostore.com/collection/uncharted-territory. You can choose from a shirt or hoodie with Travis Heckle's great podcast cover artwork, or a shirt with a design inspired by one of our favorite bands. While there, check out the other great merchandise at TKO, including shirts of several of the top MMA fighters, including Bigfoot Silva, Tim Sylvia, Ensign Inoue, and more. Need a shirt made for your event or organization? Contact TKO, run by Phil Singer Games promoter Justin Bulka, aka Pike Mojo, to place your order. Again, that's tkostore.com, TEEKOstore.com.
Insert wolf music.
uncharacteristically. Let me say that again.
I'm not sure I could.
All
right, there you have it, fans. There's Stu and Tim's picks for the season, and let us know what you think. But I think we have one more prediction. I see here from our run sheet that Chad would like to say something.
We got to pick our World Series winner first.
Pick our World Series champs. You're right.
My bad. Okay, let's scratch that.
It is all about the frivolity, though. I'm getting a message that my internet connection is unstable, so we'll see how this goes.
Ruh-roh.
So are your balls.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said that.
There's an Easter egg.